Thanks for tuning in to the Falcon Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Dean Jansen, mild-mannered manager of the Falcon Theater in Tisdale, Saskatchewan. Together with my son, Noah Jansen, the self-professed movie snob, we're going to enlighten and entertain you with our immense movie knowledge. So sit back and relax. But if you're currently driving a vehicle, don't relax too much. But enjoy this episode of the Falcon Theater Podcast.
All right. Welcome to the 14th episode of the Falcon Theater Podcast. Man, it has been a long time. I was looking back. It was December 9th was the last time we posted a podcast. The longest we've gone between just, this whole retired thing. I think I'm just too busy. But we had a special guest back then. We've got a special guest coming up today as well. We're going to talk about but before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about what beverage I'm enjoying today. So I made myself for the first time an Irish whiskey sour, which is Teeling Irish whiskey and lemon juice and simple syrup and an egg white. I'm not used to just putting a raw egg white into a drink, but it's a really good drink. So
yeah. As long as you don't put the yolk in, I think you're probably okay.
Well, that's what they say, that the bad stuff's in the yolk, that the white's all right. So, yeah, I don't know. If I get, deathly sick food poisoning tomorrow, we'll know why, I guess.
Because of the whiskey.
Well, maybe too much. Yeah, exactly. So what's been happening at the Falcon Theater? Well, what hasn't been happening? Actually, we have had a really quiet year. The start to the year was really quiet. Well, I shouldn't say that. At the very beginning, we had a couple of kids shows, Moana 2, we did well. But March was honestly the worst month that we have had since I started 2.5 years ago, took over the theater. This past March was our worst month. Captain America was weak. Everything we ran in March was just weak. And so, thankfully, we had Minecraft. Because holy shit, did that do bank. We had not as many people for the weekend of Minecraft as we had for the weekend of Super Mario Brothers. But we actually made more money at Minecraft than we did at Super Mario Brothers.
Just like real life, eh? I don't know. I don't know how much money Minecraft's made. I'm just assuming it's made a boatload of money.
Yeah, well, if you could fill up a boat with the money we made, just our little theater, so
it'd be a very, very bad, very bad boat. I'm curious as to what the next video game movie that'll make you guys a lot of money is gonna be.
Well, it was 2 years between Super Mario and Minecraft, so I guess we gotta wait 2 more years to find out.
They gotta start cooking.
Yeah, yeah. And then we brought Minecraft again, something I don't usually do, but I brought Minecraft back for a second weekend, and it did not as well as the first weekend, but it still did quite well. As opposed to Snow White that we had last weekend, where one showing we had 5 people, we had hardly anybody all weekend. It was pretty bad. And you know, I don't think it was that bad of a movie. I think it was just all of the, oh, it's not like the original. It's so funny because people complain about, they did a frame for frame reshoot. Why did they do that? And then they're complaining about it. But then they change it up like they did with Snow White. And then they're complaining, oh, they changed it. Why did they do that?
It's almost like, and hear me out, if there's any big Hollywood producers listening to this, talking to you, Disney, maybe you don't have to make that movie then if it's gonna just be hated either way. But that's just me thinking. That's just, you know, crazy.
Exactly. Talking. Like, why remake these amazing films with, like, you're not gonna win. There's no winning with them.
I think the only one of Disney's like live action ones they did that I thought was like, okay, it's obviously not as good as the original and never would be, but I'm like, it was enjoyable enough that I could sit down and watch it again, would be the live action Aladdin. I'm like, I don't mind this. They did enough different with the story being, you know, the same thing. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting here and I'm just like, I'd rather just watch the cartoon, you know?
I think these remakes are kind of dumb. But at the same time, we got How to Train Your Dragon coming up here in another month or so. So hopefully that does well. And that, honestly, I don't know. It looks like a complete shot-for-shot remake from the trailers.
What? Are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. Why would they change it?
Well, but I do have to say, not Snaggletooth. Toothless. Toothless. The dragon. Toothless the dragon. Looks amazing. Like, I don't know who did the effects or made the Toothless, but fuck, he looks great.
So live action Shrek when?
Yeah, well, I could play Shrek for that. So
maybe. You got a face for Shrek, I'll say.
I do. Yeah, exactly. So this weekend, I want to talk a little bit about what's coming up this weekend. We have a cool movie coming up. It's called The Accountant 2. And when you think of an accountant, you're like, okay, well, that's what's he going to do? Put a bunch of tables of figures and like add them up? That sounds pretty boring.
That sounds terrifying.
But I actually watched The Accountant, the first one, on Amazon Prime, Netflix. I think it's Amazon Prime, and it was a really good movie, starring Ben Affleck and John Bernthal, and it was really great. So I'm kind of excited for this new movie coming up.
Is John Bernthal in the first one pretty much just like not Punisher, but he's the Punisher?
Yeah, well, no. Actually, no. He's not. I mean, he has some of the Punisher's traits, but overall, I wouldn't call him the psycho that the Punisher is.
Ah, okay.
Have you watched the new Daredevil?
You know what? No, I haven't. I haven't even finished Andor yet, so
you're way behind, son.
I'm very slack. I'm catching up, okay? I'm catching up.
I have to say I'm a little disappointed because I really wanted to talk about Andor tonight with you.
We can talk about the first three episodes.
I can't believe that we booked this podcast on the final three episodes. That's all I want to do is watch those three episodes, and here I am.
Have you seen them yet, the final three?
No, but because okay, I'm here.
Well, when I come down, sorry, everyone, we're just having a little domestic here, but when I come down on Thursday, I'll make sure I'm caught up and we can watch the final three on Thursday.
Well, I'm going to watch them tonight, probably. So I can't
wait. Well, get ready to rewatch them.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, back to what we have coming in this weekend. We have The Accountant 2, and we just so happen to have a special guest that actually got to work on this movie. And
Ben Affleck's here?
Yeah, I'm a pretty big deal here in Tisdale, and I got Ben. No, I didn't get Ben Affleck.
Probably didn't return our calls.
Well, he should have, but because I mean, I'm a town counselor. I'm important, you know. Anyway, we have one of the guys that worked on the special effects for the movies. This is a former student of mine and a great all-around person by the name of Taylor LeBlanc. And I had the pleasure of working with Taylor doing 3D animation back in high school. And then he moved off and became this big wig. And he was kind enough to join us here this evening. So welcome, Taylor, to the Falcon Theater podcast.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure.
Gotta get you guys to follow me around to parties and do that intro before I walk in.
Oh, that's a good idea. We gotta come out to BC to do that, though.
No, I'll come your way. My family lives there, so I'll be there.
we do charge a very bad amount of money, so.
Okay, I'll take that.
The next time you are back here in Saskatchewan, you just let me know and I will go into the party and I will introduce you.
Sounds good. I'm in. You said special effects. I do visual effects, and there is a difference.
Oh. Okay. Tell us the difference, because we are ignorant.
Yeah. So special effects is what you do on set. So that's like your actual explosions that you do. That's the cool makeup that you see on like monsters and stuff. Anything that's practical. That happens while they're shooting is all special effects. So those are the people that actually like decide who gets to live or die on set if they do their job right. And then mine is all post. It's after they're done shooting, everyone's gone home, and then they edit down the video, the movie, and then I get that.
Okay.
First difference. Yeah, and also you guys were talking about Daredevil earlier. Yours truly worked on the first season.
Oh, like the first Netflix one, or like the one that just came out here on Disney?
No, like the Netflix one in like 2015 or whatever.
No kidding, hey.
Yeah, got my start doing roto and paint, so that essentially means like getting rid of stuff on set. So like when he's beating the hell out of everybody in a hallway, the stunt double's got to land on mats and stuff. But if you guys see that, it takes you out of it. They got to hit concrete, so we get rid of it, put in an actual wall, and then make it look as normal as humanly possible, so it doesn't take you guys out of it.
Oh, that's cool. Is it a frame by frame, or is it a?
It is. So the program we use is called Nuke. This is like the hard part to describe what I actually do. But like, if you have any Photoshop experience, which I know you do.
A little bit.
It's like Photoshop in motion, essentially. So it's like you layer things accordingly, but it has to move with the scene and it has to look seamless. Because a lot of what we do, especially for myself, is called invisible visual effects. So if I do my job right, it doesn't look like I did anything at all. Which is like the goal, because you don't want to take people out of the movie.
If you don't do your job right, then we know that you have been there.
Exactly. Yes. That's why, like, when you see really CGI scenes and then you're like, this is taking me out because the reflection in the eyes don't match. It's like, okay. But like when it comes to actual plates, that's what we call it. When you shoot something, it's called, you work on a plate. Yeah. When you like, for instance, with the Daredevil example, when you have a mat that they fall on, you can't have that there. So you get rid of it and clean it up. And if you guys can't notice that there was ever a mat there to begin with, I did my job right.
So for like an average scene, like say like, for example, like the hallway scene, like I'm sure everyone's different. What would be like a normal length of time? It's like, okay, I got to do this 2 minute piece here. How long would something like that take you to finish up?
So it's all shot dependent, but for the most part, since everything cuts so fast these days, like I will maybe spend like 2 weeks on something and it'll just be on the screen for just a blurb. It'll be like, it's there and it's gone, and it'll be that fast. But so it all depends on the scope of work. But like for a lot of these like simple TV shows, like you're pumping out like five of these a day if you can. If you're working on TV shows. But if you're on movies, for instance, if you're on the newest like Marvel movie, like I had friends that worked on the newest Captain America, and they've only looked at four shots for the last 3 months.
Four shots of the movie took them 3 months.
Yeah, because there's just so much massaging, making it look as good as humanly possible with the budget that's like provided, with the timeline that's provided. But usually, yeah, like it's you can do more than that usually, but it's, you're looking at the same thing for a very, very long time.
What? So you were saying five a day. Is that five episodes or five shots? Or
five shots. Like, so essentially when the camera is shooting and then it cuts, that's a shot. So like someone's like talking in a scene and then it cuts to the other person, that was a shot.
So five shots a day, how many shots would there be in a typical episode of Daredevil?
For Daredevil, I'm not so sure, but like we're working on TV shows today. Like we just did the newest season of Virgin River, and there were about maybe 200 to 300 per episode, depending on how much stuff they wanted to add and what the budget was.
Okay.
And how big is a team typically, like when you're working on, like say, okay, you got these shots you got to do, how many of you guys are working on that?
I'm going to preload a lot of these sentences with, oh, it all depends. But with this one with the TV show, like my boutique would either be from a team size of four to nine artists. And then if you're at like a big studio working on a movie and only one person could do three shots for 3 months, then you have like teams of hundreds. Like it could be huge.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like the amount of money that gets poured into this industry is insane sometimes. And sometimes it's not.
That's how we get these movies that are $300 million a piece and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
and why the credits run for 10 minutes after the movie.
Only sometimes. I've been on some projects where even like, because like when they do the credits, they have to pay per line or per word, actually. So like sometimes they will nix people out of the credits if they didn't think they were important enough.
Really?
To save a couple dollars.
Yeah, literally. Like I had a friend that worked on a recent project, and they didn't, none of the camera operators got credit, neither did they.
I'm assuming you'd still be getting paid though. You just, you won't be able to have that on your resume, more or less.
Yeah, you'll just have to tell people you worked on it and then just be like, ah, just believe me.
Take my word. I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start telling people I'm in all these movies.
Especially with TV shows, because the credits are like all of, I don't know, like half a minute.
Well, and I mean, and how many TV shows too, especially on streaming, as soon as the credits starts, it starts pumping out the next episode for you too.
Yeah, absolutely. So like I worked on a ton of TV shows and I don't have any credits, so you're just going to have to believe me.
You do have an IMDb page.
Oh, you found that, did you?
I did, yes.
Does he have trivia?
No, well, I have to really dig into my brain, because like, do you remember every meal you made? Like, I don't know, like, it's tough. But there's a lot of missing information on that as well, because it auto-populates. If I work on a movie and my name shows up, for some reason, it just gets put up on my name. Some I have to manually put in, but sometimes it's just automatic.
So they would have a scraper out there that would be going out and finding this information, probably.
I guess, but who's paying this fella?
Nobody. It would be a...
Oh, just an AI?
Yeah, an AI or program that would be going out and scraping it, right?
Oh, fair enough.
And I guess that's a thing too. Have you found that with the rise of AI, it's changed a bit of how the job is done or how the job is marketed and everything?
So far in my, like, for my experience, it's been like I've been able to get more shots out because of it. Like masking stuff has been more of a help with AI. But as far as like actually generating something from scratch, it doesn't seem to be working so far, because our clients are so particular about what they've shot. It's their baby, it's their child. They want to take care of it, and they want every pixel that they paid for to be there, and they want it to look the exact way they want it. And it's such a black box approach with AI. You just type something in, poops it out. If you want to alter something, now you're going to get a whole new thing.
I was going to ask that. So will they go like enlarge it and go through the pixels to make sure that the pixels are the way they asked?
Depends on the client. Some people will go in there, they'll brighten, they'll darken, they'll make sure that everything looks good. They'll go frame by frame. It all depends. Some people with lower budgets don't get to have that kind of assurance that they want, because you just have to get it out at some point. They can't keep kicking the can down the road. Mm-hmm. But you can have some really, really anal clients that really make sure that it looks as perfect as possible.
Do you notice, like, if you go and are watching TV, watching a movie, like, compared to like say a normal viewer, be like, oh, okay, yeah, that they didn't do a good job on that scene, or hey, this one could have done better because I can notice this and this here on that shot.
Yeah, absolutely. But like, it doesn't like take me out of it. Like, you'll see a driving scene and you'll be like, oh, they're missing some hair on that girl. They didn't get to extract like the, because she's blonde and it's on a blue screen, it's harder to grab, or a green screen. But never really takes me out of it. It can kind of turn that part of my brain off, because I won't be able to enjoy anything if I just keep looking underneath like the lens of scrutiny.
That's why I can't watch medical shows, because of that reason.
Oh no, but that's like logical, like real answers. Like, if it's like, they would never do that. Like, that's, I feel like that would hit way harder.
That's like, my wife hates when I watch a show and start complaining about the physics of what I'm watching. And you're like a whole nother level, because you're not just like the physics, go ahead.
I cannot tell you how many times that we've made a scene look realistic and then have it walk back by the client just so that they could be like, this looks more cinematic. And it's like, yeah, but it doesn't look realistic. And they're like, I don't care, this looks better. And it's like, all right, fair enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you get walked back a lot. Like, when you have creative freedom on a show, like, they'll start off being like, do whatever you want, let your creative freedom just flourish. And then you'll pump something out and be like, I really like this. And they'll be like, that's cool and all, but I had this idea like 3 months ago that now I can kind of visualize now that I see it, and we're going to walk it back. And it's like, oh man, it's like making a cake for somebody. And then they're like, yo, this could totally do with some like garlic salt on top. And you're like, there's no world that exists. Please.
And in their world. So when you guys do a project, like, when it comes to the actual, you know, people who have made the movie and everything, like, who's the one that brings it forward to you and your team to work on, you know, doing the visual effects?
So it goes the opposite direction mostly, where we have people at our studio that go out to find work.
Okay.
So you shop around, you get into bidding matches with other companies, because you're all kind of fighting for the same pile of food. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can show that you can do that work well and for the right price, then that's how you get it.
How many competing companies would you have in your area? Like, or is it like hundreds, or?
Yeah, it might be like shallow of 100 because of COVID. A lot of boutiques popped up, like a lot of smaller studios. So like there's a lot of people fighting for like television shows and stuff. It might be like 50 in the area, maybe. But it's a lot, and you have to know people to like get work. So we have like connections at Netflix, and we also like we worked on the newest Ben and Matt film. Or I guess Matt wasn't there, but we work with their company a lot now. So like we have another show that we're working on that they're both on, and it's going to come out on Netflix, and that's what I'm working on right now. Yeah, they're bringing the band back together.
Wait, are you? Did you just drop that there's Good Will Hunting 2 coming out?
No. The best part of that movie passed away in 2016, which I resent your comment about the live action Aladdin.
I didn't say it was better. It was different.
No, that's fair. Yeah. So, but like that's it kind of plays into the like why we're looking for work when it comes to visual effects. Whereas like you get movies back in like the 80s or even the 2000s, like Terminator or Lord of the Rings, where they worked in tandem with like a visual effects studio specifically so that they shot everything exactly how it should be. And they like that's why like the visuals as they have aged, but they seem way better than a lot of shows that are coming out these days, is because they worked in tandem with each other and planned everything accordingly. Whereas today they will shoot something and be like, somebody will pick this up. And it's rare
who can do the job that I want.
Yeah. Yeah. We get lucky sometimes and we get to send a guy out to be on set. So they shoot everything accordingly to how we want it. So it makes our job easier, but 9 times out of 10, that doesn't really happen.
So one question that I was wondering then, is there certain studios or certain projects where when they come in, you're like, yeah, oh, I love working with them. Or can you name who you really enjoy working with versus who might be more difficult?
Oh man. So usually I love working with any company that's organized, and sometimes that's Netflix for the most part. Like they got their ducks in a row. I mostly have a blacklist more so than a white list of people I'd rather work with. Like my biggest blacklist item is anything that comes out of Disney. I would rather not touch it.
That's fair.
Yeah, they're just they have their weight and they throw it around a lot. Like they have clauses in their contracts where if they like, let's say you're working on the newest version of the Hulk and you've been working on it for 7 months, they hold the right to any point of the process to just be like, nah, let's restart. And so it's right back to square zero.
You know, it's funny you say that, because even from my standpoint where I run a movie theater, Disney is one of the worst to work with because they push their weight around. Like number one, I can't get a movie for a long time after it's released because I won't agree to a 4-week booking. Anything that comes out from Disney that's at all, well, Thunderbolts is out right now. I won't be able to get it until well into June because I won't agree to a 4-week booking. And so it's, and when I do get it, they take the highest percentages of the gate because they can. Because that's right. What they're like. But on the other hand, I will give them credit. When I get a booking, there is no questions about like me getting the movie or getting the keys to unlock it. Like it is 100% done. Versus some studios, I'll get the booking and then the movie won't show up. And it's like, oh, well, they, you know, I have to email people in order to actually get the movie or the keys. And it's a pain in the ass. Disney, everything is, once I have the booking, it's everything is set, but getting the booking is the hardest part.
Yeah, no, they like I've been at studios where they've done security audits where they have a guy come in just to make sure that like you have 2 doors getting into the studio with lock and key, like you everyone needs a pass to get in, and like there's supposed to be like X amount of security cameras per like foot how much floor space there is. And like all the security protocols and like all of the software, like no internet access is a big one. Like if we're working on a computer at the studio, you can't even look up anything on Google.
Really?
Yeah, just to reduce any chance of leaks. But like they usually when they happen, it's through other sources. Like it's rarely ever internal.
Well, I know like when they did the sequel movies, there was a lot of leaks for the 7th and 9th movie, but a lot of it was done through like J.J. Abrams' like Bad Robot company and a lot of leaks. But when they had the 8th movie, a lot of it was done more, I think, in-house, and there was a lot less leaks that came out. At least that's what I read on the internet. Who fucking knows? It's true. I could be speaking to my ass, but it tracks with having a little bit more hands in the pie and more third party people, not in house working on it.
Yeah, because like even in our case, like let's say for instance that there's a background that like there's a lot of times, like even in the newest thing that we're working on, there's this new thing that people start doing where they shoot on volume stages, it's called. So instead of it being a green screen or a blue screen, it's an actual screen that just projects the background. But there's so many problems with it. Like usually we just have to redo it after the fact, and that's where I come in. And so we need to send the footage to India because it's the cheapest labor we can get for it, because money is the game, baby. And we have to get somebody to roto that. And then so now that's another party that gets the footage. And that's like when in the newest Spider-Man movie, how it was leaked that it's been out long enough, I can talk about it, right? The three Spider-Men being in it was leaked early.
That was pre-COVID, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know. I just don't want to make anybody mad. But that got leaked, but it was from like a third-party source, kind of like that. So it wasn't even like in-house, but we had to send, like, people had to send it out to get worked on, and then we would like get it done in-house, but it was already too late.
And I hear Disney punishes with the death penalty, I believe is what I heard.
Yeah, the fist of God parts through the sky and then it smites you.
They paid for that. They paid good money for that fist of God.
You don't get strip searched on your way in and out. Make sure you're not bringing any USB sticks with you.
Back in the day, probably like there was drives that could never leave the studio. But now I work from home exclusively, and most people do because COVID changed the whole game, and now everyone's working from home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like, there's nothing stopping you from having like your partner or a guest over at your house just record your screen and then just go to town. But it hasn't happened yet, which is good, because that would suck to have to go back in.
Well, that would kind of ruins it for everybody then.
Absolutely.
I don't understand why companies are, now we're getting into COVID, but I don't understand why companies are paying money for office space. If the productivity is there, why would you pay a bunch of money for a big office?
Because it looks real good when you get an exec and you're like, hey, come see what like the boys working on your baby. And they walk in and there's just like these 40 something people that haven't seen the sun in like 2 weeks. And then they're just like, or their son for 2 weeks, cause they're working OT, and they're just hanging out and they're like, oh, this looks sweet. And they get to see things in real time. It's very showy. It's a very, like, the big companies, they're still keeping their spaces around.
I guess they have enough money that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there was days that where we would be warned. They're like, execs coming, please clean your desk and do not be on your phone. And please just work on stuff for like these 20 minutes that they walk by.
So it's much like when you're a teacher and the director is coming into the classroom.
Absolutely. You're like, can we just hold it together for like 10 minutes and then you guys go back to being monkeys? It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Stop swinging off the lights. We're just going to sit in your desk.
Thank God in my job, we don't have anybody from like the SHA ever come and check in on us. They don't even acknowledge we exist. So we can kind of just do whatever we want. So
thank goodness. Yeah, but
now that you've said that, Noah, they're gonna hear this podcast and they're gonna be like, you know what, we need to start checking on our paramedics more.
I personally invite for Premier Scott Moe to come spend 5 minutes in our ambulance bay, and I guarantee it'll be a wonderful time for him to experience.
It'll be Jeremy Cockerell that'll come.
He is not allowed in the building.
He gets stopped at the door.
The former education minister, now health minister. So another question I want to ask you, Taylor, how exactly did you get to this place where you're at? Like from where you began? Because I kind of know where you started, but I'd like to hear the journey.
Well, I mean, everything I've talked about up to this point, as far as my life and what I've been up to in this industry, is kind of, you're kind of the guy to blame, to be honest.
Sorry.
No, it's good. No, this is good. My whole life, like, this has been a long time coming, Dean. So it all started with your 3D modeling class. And it was the only class I gave a shit about and I actually enjoyed in high school. And then AI came to visit the school. And then they're like, yo, you can do 3D modeling for games and TV. And I was like, you know what? That's the only thing that sparked joy in my entire high school career. Let's get after it. And I told them, I was like, I can't draw. Is that going to be okay? They're like, yeah, that's why you're coming here. We'll teach you. I had to know how to draw and I couldn't. And so then they swapped me. Or I swapped because I was watching a lot of YouTube videos about visual effects stuff. And then I asked them, like, hey, how much drawing is involved in visual effects? And they were like, absolutely nothing. And I was like, how's the job market doing? They're like, it's never been better. And I was like, oh, that's the move. So I swapped into visual effects. And
I always knew you were a smart guy.
I mean, I just kind of like saw the cards on the table and I was like, I'm just going to follow it. But no, it's a big thank you to you, Dean, because like I wouldn't be here without you for all this. Like, thank you so much for, you know, making a class in the middle of Saskatchewan that nobody else was doing.
Well, I appreciate that, but I take little credit. You were just an awesome kid. So
no. You helped a ton, more than you know. Yeah, so I kind of fell into it in a way, but also it's just was the right move and it was good work and I met a lot of good people from it because of it. So I stuck around and now it's been 11 years and I'm still doing it.
So you're with the company. Is it pronounced Nice Stuff?
It's pronounced Nice Stuff. Nice I know stuff. The name's a little out there.
Have you been with them this whole time?
No. So in this industry, we're contractors. So usually it's very, very common to jump around. And it's rare that like somebody has another project lined up for you as soon as you're done that one. So usually you have to like kind of bounce around. I got really lucky at a place called Fat Belly before this one and stuck with them after COVID for a long time. They even flew my wife and I down to Australia to work for a month and a half on a branch that they had. So I got to be a supervisor on some shows down in Australia.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then after that Australia trip, there was no other work lined up. So then I had a buddy that owns a company, which is this company, Nice Stuff VFX. And I've been there since, I think, for 2 years now. And that's probably the most consistent work I've ever had in this industry. Like, it's rare that this would happen, but they're keeping me around. They like me.
Well, how can you not?
Thank you. Thank you.
And your wife works in the same industry. Is that correct?
So she didn't used to. We met at the Art Institute and she was in the fashion industry, but it is just an egregious industry that it's like 30 people fighting over pennies just to have just to steal work from other people. Like, it's not even like worth it. So then at the Fat Belly job, my boss was like, oh, yo, your wife's a smart cookie. Maybe she can do production work. So brought her in, taught her everything. And then we started working together and then we went to Australia together. We haven't worked together since, but now she's working directly with directors for some Disney movies. So she gets to like book in like when they do ADR, which is like when they come to record stuff later, if they need more line work. She's booking people around the world to like get into sound studios to record lines and stuff. So she's working directly with like actors and directors.
Oh, wow.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Her job's way more interesting. Yeah. You should almost.
We should, but we might want to take back what we said about Disney earlier.
Well, I mean, it's the beast. It's like it is biting the hand that feeds. But like, I mean, if you ask me my opinion, I'm just like, it would be cool if I didn't have to work with them. But if I have to, I have to, which I have already. Like, it's happened and it's going to keep happening.
Yeah. They for sure. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
That was actually another question I was going to ask. Have you or your wife, have you met who's the most famous people that you've met or have you?
So here's the thing. Once we get into the mix, like, everybody's gone home from shooting like probably 6 months ago. So like rare is it that we would ever come across anybody. I do have a story for you two later, but I cannot tell it on the pod because I will get blacklisted from the industry, but I'll tell you guys later. But
our last guest we had, we might have made some digs at Tom Cruise and we've been fine. So,
oh no, that's fine. It's not digging at anybody. It's just like it's a happenstance, but it's the closest I've come to interacting with somebody. But,
we had Adam Tex Davis on our podcast.
Yeah. I listened to it.
Oh, you did. Yeah. Yeah. And he told a couple stories that after, I'm not sure, he was like, I don't know if I should have actually said that.
I mean, yeah, because he like worked directly with people as the writer for, like, he was probably right beside Ryan Reynolds at a ton of times.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, no, that's so cool.
We've had a few others reach out to us, but when I've responded to them, they haven't replied. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, there might be some more stuff. Maybe there's some hope.
Fingers crossed. We're only going to get bigger.
It all starts here with episode 14.
Yeah, we need to be more regular, maybe.
We've been slacking a little bit.
You don't want to flood the market either. Like, people don't want to have to spend too much time listening to like podcasts, especially long form.
We were doing well at like about one a month or so, but it just since Christmas, we just haven't had any time to get to. There's been a couple times we've tried and then something's come up and we haven't been able to. So it's nice that this one worked out. This was quick, but it was good.
No, it's awesome. I mean, you made the nice post about me coming on and just seeing all the likes pour in. I was like, man, this is stroking the old ego in a big way. Like, it's just nice. I'm seeing like old teachers. I got like some friend requests from some people I went to high school with. I was like, yo, I'm back.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it's bummed me up. So I'm already reaping the rewards. Yeah, that's super nice. It's a lot of support, so it's cool. Just like, because like, I mean, like this job isn't unbelievably glamorous. Like, it's exciting to talk about, but like, if you saw me in my day-to-day, it's pretty like I'm just sitting at a computer clicking stuff.
Wait, but that's what my dad does all day.
Yeah, I know, but like, here we are talking on a podcast. It's awesome. But like, no, the small town love, it means a lot, and I really appreciate it. Like, I've posted that I've been in credits and other stuff, and then I'll have people that I don't even know from like Zenon like reshare my stuff, just being like local talent, and I'm like, whoa, nice.
You're gonna get your picture up in the wall in Zenon Park School here soon.
Maybe. I was thinking about the one in Tisdale that had like, I remember when I was in school, there was like I always remember the female stunt driver for like, or she was a stunt woman for a bunch of movies.
Holly Krasinski.
Yeah, that might be it. And I was like, yo, maybe someday. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in movies now. What does it take? What's a guy got to do?
Well, you just got to get nominated for the Hall of Fame.
If any Falcon Theater listeners, nominate Taylor LeBlanc.
If you think it's worth it for you.
For the TMSS Wall of Fame, I think it's worth it. Absolutely.
That's been my Mount Everest ever since I left. So if I can get on there, then I think I peak.
Oh, well, you don't want to go too early then, because then it's just going to be downhill from there.
No. I'm okay with that. Don't talk it down.
Another question for you. What is your favorite project that you've worked on?
It was a show on Netflix that I think nobody watched. It's called The Healing Power of Dude. It's about this kid that is suffering with anxiety, and he gets this dog that can talk to him and like relaxes him. But the only reason why I bring it up is because at one point they had to play a video game. And obviously in movies, you can't just use real video games without paying like licensing fees and whatever. So they just like shot two people fighting on a blue screen, and I had to essentially create a game from the ground up, but it's all, like, obviously no interaction, but like I got to remake Mortal Kombat essentially into a scene into the show that gave me like full creative freedom.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, even to the point where the shot was showing the TV and there was an Xbox on the screen, and I was talking to the LA execs and I was like, yo, are they playing on the Xbox? And they're like, yeah. I was like, all right, so I turned it on for you guys because it's been off this entire time. And they all laughed and they were like, okay, good thing you're here. And I'm like, yeah, thank you.
Nothing worse than in a movie where the actors are supposed to be playing something and it's very obvious that they're not actually playing anything.
There was even, I had defied the client, and there was like a story point about one of the girls that was playing the game. They were like, oh, she learned this code on the internet, and she puts in a code and then the character kills the other character at full health. And I was like, that's bullshit, like no one would play this game. So then I like lowered the health to like at least like under half, and they're like, no, it needs to be full so that it shows that she's like really good at this game. And I was like, fuck that. So I just, if you watch it now, the health bar isn't full all the way, because I was like, that's not gonna fly with anybody that's played a game.
Definitely, once I'm done Andor, I'm definitely watching The Healing Powers of Dude. I just looked it up on my Netflix account here.
Please just watch the video game episode. Like, it's whatever's on the TV. At some point, the characters show up and talk to the kid. I had nothing to do with it. Very cringy, but it's money in the bank, so I'm not complaining.
No, that's going to be my favorite part.
Yeah, I hope so. they were like, now he like finishes the character, and I'm like, do you mean a fatality? And they were like, I guess. And I was like, what's the rating on this TV show? Because I've never had to deal with that before, like dictating the rating. And I ended up like freezing a guy, and then he punches him, and they explode kind of Sub-Zero style. And then I was like, is it okay if a shin bone is sitting out of his leg? And they were like, yeah, that's fine, as long as there's no blood. And I'm like, wow, all right.
Really? That's cool. I never even thought of that you would have to consider ratings when you're
doing. Yeah, because I had to ask. I was like, how violent can I get? And like, it's so funny what they care about, because like, I remember we worked on a Disney movie and they paid us like $1,000 just to change a light on they closed off a whole street, and it's a car driving down the street and the light happened to be red, and they're like, we can't tell kids that they can drive through reds. So they paid us $1,000 just to change it to green.
Really?
My question is, what kids are driving?
I know, but it's like, what do they internalize when they're so young, the little sponges?
In any movie, I mean, this is a kind of a broad question, but when you've seen something, because you always say, like, if it's done right, you know, you shouldn't be able to tell. Is there any times in a certain movie where, you know, you've watched a scene, you're like, oh, wow, I can tell that they probably did, you know, whatever this here as a visual effect. And I think that was really amazing that they did it that way.
That would be most of the not the newest Mad Max movie, but the one before that, like all of the backgrounds were made and like they all melded together so well. Dune is really good for it because they had all the time in the world and the biggest budget possible. They like every scene looks like they shot it there. Like it just looks so good. But an example of like when I noticed something, like one of the rare times, like it's rare that something really bad sneaks through, was on Bullet Train. If you've seen that movie with what's his name?
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Brad Pitt. So near the end of the movie, he gets pulled out of the train and he's kneeling down on the train stop. And they do a close up of his face and they have to do beauty fixes on him because, you know, we all get older. I mean, you can white knuckle youth as much as possible, but it gets you.
Sure, you, Brad Pitt doesn't age.
No. That's up to us to make you believe that.
I thought he made a pact with the devil back after Fight Club.
I won't say who, but there's actors and actresses that come into a movie and they have a visual effects budget put aside for beauty fixes every time.
You're saying Tom Cruise has actually aged in real life?
Yeah, I mean, he can still run around and break his ankle and stuff, but like, I'm sure he doesn't look like a spring chicken, but like, there's been so many times where I've had to go in and just get rid of crow's feet or do beauty fixes on anything. All the time. But anyways, there was a beauty fix on him and it was a floating mask on his cheek and I was just like, okay, so that just got through, like nobody noticed that. It was just a blurred shape on his like right cheekbone and I think it's still there. Like if you went and looked, you might be able to notice it if you really look.
I will definitely go back and really look at it now.
I think that's just how Brad, I've seen pictures of Brad Pitt. I think he always has that blurred piece on his cheek.
I think it depends what time of day and which way you're facing him.
I want to go back. You talked about Mad Max Fury Road and how good it was. But does Furiosa not have that same level?
I haven't seen the movie yet, so I don't know.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
For the last one. Yeah. I mean, I've heard complaints about the story, but I've never heard anybody complain about the visuals. So that might be indicative of how okay it is.
So do you find, because of your job, that do you seek out movies? Or is it like, I spend all my time working on this stuff, so I don't want to do it in my spare time? Or TV shows? Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, is it like, if I, like, why would I eat pizza if I make pizza all day?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, nothing like that. I separate the two completely. It's a medium of enjoyment versus work. Like, it's like, would you hate living in a house if you built houses for your living? Like, I don't get the correlation. It'd be different if somebody was like, please watch this movie with me and like really dictate what they've done and like what they could do better. I'd be like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, as soon as I have my opinion, but if I can just turn my brain off, turn something on, that's fine by me.
So if you could get the best popcorn in town and sit in the Falcon Theater, you would totally do that.
Absolutely. If I lived closer, I would.
I wish more people were like you. No,
no, for sure. I mean, like, it sounds like, again, outside of March, it was a good turnout, right?
It's hit and miss. It's totally dependent on the movie as to whether or not we put bums in seats. It's just, and people listen to the reviews. Like, if the reviews are bad, they don't come to the movie. They don't give the movie a chance if the reviews are bad.
Oh, shit. How's the accountant two doing?
Actually, it's decent. It's, yeah. I just looked it up because I just posted about
76
it.
76 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, but the audience score is 92%.
And your kids' movies, your action movies, they do a lot better than, say, like your superhero and the horror movies, you know?
Horror movies do horrible in our theater, but I'm hoping that when we have Sinners next weekend,
I'm
excited for that one.
It's so good.
To go back to Minecraft, though, I had lots of friends that worked on that. And it's funny. I can go into some specifics, but just not say who, but they bumped on something in the movie over and over and over again, and it wasted so much money and time. If you had to take a stab at what the problem was in the movie that they keep having to readjust, what would your guess be?
Was it the chicken jockey?
It had nothing to do with the chicken jockey.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm out of ideas then.
Yeah, that's fair. The clouds.
Really?
I couldn't settle on the clouds. They're like square, round, fluffy. How fluffy? What color of the sky? They just kept going back and forth. Yeah, I know, but like that's just kind of an example of like in this industry what people will just fixate on. Like I had to change an address on a piece of paper and they were, did they look through that with a fine tooth comb? They were like, it's not following the paper right. It doesn't seem like the right font. The chromatic aberration doesn't work around the edges of the screen, like all this stuff. And I was like, boys, it's writing on a piece of paper. Can we move on?
Well, the writing was on the wall.
Yeah, I wish it was because it would have been easier to track.
Got a chance to actually watch the Minecraft movie the second weekend we ran it, and it is not a really good movie. Nothing to get. The special effects are great. The visual effects are great, but the it's basically Jack Black and Jason Momoa yelling at each other for an hour and a half.
You got it. That's exactly it. I mean, like it's you turn your brain off. It's a kids' movie. Like you,
it's not made for 55-year-old men. I get that. But I thought Super Mario was actually a better movie than Minecraft was.
More of a hero's journey than Minecraft, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen it, but from what I gather, too, a lot of it, too, is more like, hey, remember this from Minecraft? Hey, no, do you guys get this reference? Hey, remember, you know, that kind of thing? Remember how to make the Nether portal?
No, literally. I mean, like, it's just a nostalgia dump. Like, because, I mean, the game's a bit, like, I remember playing Minecraft in your classes. When I shouldn't have, like that's when it came out. Like it's been a long time coming,
and that's why it's done so well, because these people who played it when they were younger, and now they have kids, and their kids played it, and you know, same as Super Mario. Like that's why those movies have done so well. It's that nostalgia factor, right?
Yeah, it's good for the industry, but it's also the poison in the industry. Like the whole why we always do only sequels. I'm glad that we have The Accountant 2. Who asked for The Accountant 2?
Not me.
Ben Affleck.
I mean, yeah, because they have their own studio now, so they get to make their own movies. That's the only reason why it exists, to my knowledge.
But it is so hard to get people to go to a movie that doesn't have an intellectual property behind it.
Well, and that's why Sinners was so fantastic too. Like, and it's so good to see it doing so well. Like a completely original idea, but also takes a lot of inspiration from other movies and other mediums and other stories, and allows that to kind of craft its own, you know, original story. So it's cool to see it's done really, really well.
I would argue that even though it is an original idea, if you will, it's, and I haven't seen it, and I'm looking forward to seeing it, but it is based on vampires, which is not an original idea. It's a remake of a vampire movie.
To a point. Once you see it, we can discuss. Next podcast.
Next podcast, we'll definitely talk about it, because I'll watch it next weekend.
What if there was two Draculas?
Whoa. Hey, getting a little wild there, buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I was just going to move on a little bit because we were talking about original ideas and original stories. And Noah and I missed the whole Oscars because we didn't do any podcast during the Oscars, which we usually like to do. But I wanted to talk for a minute about Anora, because that was a completely new story that absolutely blew me away. I haven't laughed that hard during a movie in a long time. That movie was my favorite movie of 2024, bar none, and it was a completely original idea and story.
Yeah, no, I agree. It was fantastic.
I still got to check it out because it's on Prime now, right?
Yeah, that's where I caught it.
All right, but it's funnier than you'd think it would be, huh?
Yeah, going into it, I knew very little about it, other than, honestly, a friend of ours had told us that there's a lot of sex in that movie, and that was really all I knew about it, and I went in, and I absolutely loved that movie.
I covered my eyes during the sex scene, so I got to miss
it. Good job, Noah, good job. Yeah, no, it swept up on awards for a reason, I guess.
Yeah, the acting, the writing, everything about it was just so well done.
Yeah, it seems like the only company right now that are making, like, really pumping out original stories is A24. They seem to be doing a really good job of that.
That's one of my favorite. I love A24 stuff.
Well,
I should preface that I love most of A24 stuff. There is some of it that's
I'm an A24 simp. You put A24 in and my butt will be in that seat watching it.
It's so crazy to find out that Anything Anywhere All at Once was done by like a team of like, I think it was like under 10 visual effects artists.
Really?
Yeah, like it's a very, very low number. Like they were like, it was just a couple boys. Like when she's doing one of the when I think she's like, when they do the flashing frames between the different dimensions at one point, it's them on a Zoom call and it's like the whole team and it's like five of them.
That's nuts.
Was a lot of it special effects then, like the sausage fingers, for example?
Yeah, that would be special effects because they did that on, like they had a artist do that on set. But then like a lot of everything else that doesn't seem real and like a lot of invisible stuff that you never even would think of. Like there's so many times where I get asked to be like, hey, can you move this hair out of the way? Or like, oh, there was a bird that we don't like in the shot, or the boom mic dipping in. Or every single screen that you ever see in any TV show or movie is probably done by somebody like me.
We have no ideas, us casual movie watchers, right?
Which is good. I mean, that's the point. Like they want to be able to get their story across, but like sometimes you'll look and it doesn't really land, and it's our job to find out why and how to fix it, but it doesn't work out every time because it's all about budget. Like if we like, sorry to keep talking visual effects, I guess that's why I'm here.
That's why we got you.
But like with the newest Captain America movie, people are like, man, this looks like shit, which I don't agree with. I think it looks pretty good. A lot of people are like, oh, I just hate looking at this. Like, how come we went from Avengers Endgame to this? Like, how did this happen? And it's like, yo, it's the same people working on the same movie. Like, but the budget was different almost every time. Like if you see a movie and this looks bad, it's because they didn't have the money or the time.
Whoa, wait. So are you saying that we shouldn't be listening to people who are sitting in their desk chairs at home, typing in their mom's basement? You saying they don't know more than you?
I'm sure one of them gets it right once in a while, you know, broken clock and all that. But for the most part, no, please don't. But like, yeah, because with Dune, they had like, because of COVID, they had like 5 years to work on it. So it looks amazing. They had so much time and so much money. It's one of the best visual effects films of all time, in my opinion.
That's one that the first one, I'm so sad I never got the opportunity to see that in IMAX. I got to go see Dune 2 at the IMAX here in Regina, and it was absolutely breathtaking.
Wait 10 years. I'm sure they'll bring it back. Like Star Wars is in like the theaters right now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I went and saw it.
There you go. So like, I mean, just give it some time.
Disney won't let us have it.
Oh, of course, four week run time, even on an old movie like that.
Well, because it's an old movie, they won't release it to small theaters.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I was, you know. Honestly, for me, whenever possible, if we are in Regina, we like to go to the IMAX and see movies that way. Watching Oppenheimer was just blew me away, literally from the bomb. I fell in love.
He still has the radiation burns. It's actually quite traumatic.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, the physics teacher likes watching Oppenheimer, huh? Who knew?
Yeah.
No, it was really good.
He literally stood up and started clapping when Einstein came. We had to like tell him to calm down, sit down.
The both times, start and finish.
I saw a meme the other day. It was the scene of Einstein talking to Oppenheimer. It's like, is this like the Avengers Endgame for science nerds?
Yeah, we're just waiting for another guy to show up, and then it's like, oh, we're building a team. There's somebody somewhere making that. When does the copyright run out on Oppenheimer?
I don't know, in 1945?
1,000 years from now?
Yeah, what's the half-death of Oppenheimer? Or half-life, sorry, my bad. Messed that one up. That's all right.
I was telling your mother tonight, Noah, that I would actually really enjoy working at the IMAX. That would be a fun place to be a projectionist.
And I've noticed, too, like recently, because I follow them on Facebook, they've been posting a lot more lately, and more kind of like behind the scenes of like how stuff works, and like not just the normal like, oh, here, this is the movie coming out. They're doing a little bit more like to get people to come and go see it. Like I went and saw Princess Mononoke there it was the beginning of April, and they had the one night. They were going to do one night only, and it sold out in like 30 minutes, the entire theater, and they brought it back for five more nights, which was good because I was working the only night they're going to show. And I went on the last night they were showing it, and it was still completely sold out.
That's Japanese Disney.
Exactly.
Yeah, the IMAX is just such a great way to watch movies. I love watching movies in the theater. I really do. I think people that are stuck at home watching them on their TV, I'm sorry, but the TV and your surround sound at home do not hold a candle to the experience you get in the movie theater.
Absolutely. But I do think that there are theater movies and then there's at home movies.
100%.
Yeah. Not every movie is going to be a banger in the theater. Like if it's just like a rom-com, I'll watch it at home.
Well, you saying Dumb and Dumber won't be better in the theater?
I didn't say that. Dumb and Dumber is the best comedy of all time. It's different. No, that would be awesome. Especially with everybody quoting it the whole time, because it'd be like one of those like interactive theater experiences.
I would agree with that about certain things in certain.
Watching comedies with a whole bunch of other people is fun because the laughter is contagious.
Absolutely. Like, and then you just get engrossed with it. It's like at a sporting event.
So with that being said, what comedy has had you laughing harder than any other comedy of all time? I mean, Dumb and Dumber, you just said Dumb and Dumber.
I would probably say that might be like for going back and like rewatching a comedy for me, I think that's one that can still make me laugh. I mean, now granted, I wasn't alive when it came out, but I mean, you know, just growing up and seeing it, like it's one that I could go and I could put it on right now and I would laugh just as hard as the last time that I saw it. There's so much chemistry just between Jim Carrey and like Jeff Daniels. Like it's just absolutely unparalleled.
I love that there were two guys in your grad class that dressed up like the two guys.
Yeah, and they kind of fit it. No, I'm just kidding, guys. They wouldn't listen. They're not going to listen to this.
Probably not. No.
No, that's fair. But like, yeah, there's so many like comedies. Like, to pick one is possible. Like, Dumb and Dumber, Happy Gilmore, Anchorman's always timeless. Airplane's good. Like, I feel like you always notice something new when you watch Airplane again or Naked Gun. Any Leslie Nielsen stuff.
You just mentioned Happy Gilmore. Can you believe that they're putting that out only on Netflix? That they're not doing a theatrical release of the sequel?
I think so, only because Adam Sandler's had such a history with Netflix already.
Yeah, his last eight movies have been Netflix.
I have had so many people ask me if I'm bringing in the Happy Gilmore sequel, and it's like, I can't, because it's just on Netflix.
Well, here's a question. What's stopping you? Can you stream something from, like, a laptop onto the projector, or is that...
Well, technically I can, but I legally I can't.
I understand, but what if people just showed up to hang out in a room all together at one point for no reason, and then there just happened to be background noise?
Well, I mean, technically it could happen, but it would never happen at the Falcon Theater in Tisdale, legally speaking.
Of course, that's what we're saying out loud right now.
Yes, yes.
No, fair enough. I'm picking up. But I'm excited for that one because I've watched Happy Gilmore since I was a kid. Like, it's a family staple.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great, and I think it would have put a lot of bums in seats had they put it into theaters. But
yeah, not an option for
it'll, you. It'll put a lot of bums in couches, I guess.
Yeah, it'll sell some Netflix subscriptions, I guess. Hey,
I guess for them, that's all. Yeah, it's all about them. Like, it's just tough right now between streaming and like theater. Like the balance of like, do you make the choice of like renting out that many theaters to have the space for your movie, or just going to streaming and just letting it go and just see what happens?
But they don't rent out the theater. They we pay them for the right to show it. So I don't understand why they wouldn't let us do that.
I mean, has there been an attempt? I mean, I'm not really ingrained in the theater culture of like how to get movies, but like, is there even an example of someone reaching out to Netflix being like, can I just stream this in my theater and I'll give you a cut? It seems like there's too much red tape.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's a whole bunch of lawyers that would stop that from happening, but I don't know.
I guess because the numbers wouldn't be as good. They would be deflated because it would be 50 people watching at once rather than 50 hits so that they can go and like demand money here and there for everything.
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Too much bureaucracy in this world.
Yeah, the lawyers, they ruin everything.
Yeah, I know.
Damn lawyers.
You know, back to the whole like favorite comedies, and for me, you know, The Wedding Singer, The Big Lebowski,
Big Lebowski,
the Jerk, That was one of my favorite. I love The Jerk.
I want them to, they need to remake The Jerk. That's one.
I don't think you could. I don't think you could.
That was Steve Martin, right?
Steve Martin, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, he's coming back with his TV show. Who knows? He might have another heyday. They can't remake the movie. They'll have to change it, but...
The one movie that I think I laughed harder than any other movie when I first watched it was Superbad.
Oh, yeah. And people say it hasn't aged well, but obviously with current climate and all that, I understand that argument, but it's still a hilarious, great movie.
I think Superbad, you could argue, is one of the last of, like, the raunchy teen comedy, like the you know, the high school kind of like I can't believe high school kids are doing this. Like, you don't really see movies like that anymore, you know?
And if they take a swing, it usually doesn't land.
Well, maybe that's why we don't see it anymore, because they don't know how to rate them.
On the topic of that, though, Seth Rogen came out with a TV show this year on Apple TV called The Studio, and it's about, like, the executive portion of Hollywood. And I find it really entertaining, and it's really good. It's not 100% honest of the process that goes on behind the scenes, but they pull in a ton of talent, even directors and stuff. And it's a fun watch if anyone needs a recommendation.
I've watched 3-4 episodes of it, and the first one I loved. After that, it's been a little hit and miss for me. I've enjoyed it, but
I'll be talking about the second episode for years to come.
Okay, remind me, which one's the second?
It's the one where it's on set and he's visiting on set as an executive. It makes everyone so anxious about him being there, and it's like the way that they shot it was amazing, because they really try to make it look like it was only one take the entire time. Obviously it wasn't, because that would never work. But it was really, really well done, and the hits just kept coming.
It is a good show. It's interesting. Which was the one with, oh shit, now I'm drawing a complete blank, where she was making the movie and then she was unhappy. She stole the film.
I think 3 or 4.
Yeah, I didn't like that one.
No, that one was weaker for sure, because it's more like, once you're just locked in with Seth Rogen being Seth Rogen and him doing Seth Rogen jokes, if he's not your cup of tea, then it kind of falls flat. But
definitely an interesting concept for a movie.
Yeah, if you want to see a good TV show with invisible visual effects that I watched recently, The Day of the Jackal, big recommend.
Okay, so I read The Day of the Jackal,
because it was a 1980s movie based off of a book. So yes.
Yeah, I read the original book. I think John Forsythe was the author, but don't quote me on that. The book was awesome. The ending was terrible of the book, absolutely terrible ending. And then I watched the Eddie Redmayne series, and compared to the book, it is brutal. Eddie Redmayne is not the Jackal at all compared to the book.
Interesting. Okay. I have zero idea about the book, but I loved the series.
So in the book, he's always one or two steps ahead at all times. And in the series, Eddie Redmayne is like a bumbling idiot.
Yeah, he's kind of always like reacting rather than being ahead.
Yeah, and I really didn't like that. I didn't appreciate it at all. And
yeah, sometimes it was hard to believe that a little Weasley, like 160-pound fella, can just do all this stuff.
Well, the thing about the Jackal is that he's the everyday man. You don't notice him, right? He's kind of like did you watch The Gray Man?
Yes, I have. I worked on The Gray Man.
Oh, did you? So I love the Gray Man books. I've read all of the Gray Man books, and I enjoyed the show too. And I think the character is supposed to be based, and I don't know this, I'm just guessing, but kind of based on the Jackal a little bit, in that he's this everyday guy that you don't really notice. And that's why he can get around. And Eddie Redmayne is not that guy. You see Eddie Redmayne, this redheaded guy, you know.
Oh no, he sticks out. I would stare at him. I'd be like, what's this guy about? And the way he talks is just like, he's always got like a plum in the back of his throat. And I'm just like, all right, buddy, you stick out.
That's my take on The Day of the Jackal.
I loved the show. Loved it. I just love any show that shows then doesn't tell. I like that a lot. Where you get up to, like, Breaking Bad was obviously very famous for it. Like, where you would just like see somebody doing something. And you're like, what is he up to? What's he gonna? And then the pieces start falling together and you're like, oh my God, is he gonna? And then he does. And you're like, oh my God, this is so good.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things about any is when they show don't tell, right? Like it's
yeah.
They assume you're intelligent enough they don't have to hold your hand. Which is, again, I'm gonna go back to it, one of the reasons why I love the movie Sinners so much.
Oh, all right. I still haven't seen it, but I've only heard good things.
And this second season of Andor has so many layers. Like, I really look forward to talking to you about it, Noah, because I didn't like the first three episodes, and we'll talk about that later. But the last six episodes have been incredible.
It's Andor has always been a bit of a slow burn, and I got most of the day free tomorrow, so I'm gonna try and crush through, and I'll leave the last three for when I come down there.
Well, I'll try and wait.
I don't know if it's the same for Andor because I don't know much about that TV show, but The Mandalorian was shot completely on a volume stage for the most part. Like that's that screen that I was telling you guys about earlier. And they use Unreal Engine to make the scenes, which is like a video game developing platform, but it renders so fast that they can see in the cameras like how everything's going to look once it's like massaged out.
Oh, really?
So it's like, yeah, it's like in real time.
That's really cool.
I knew it was the volume, but I didn't realize they used the Unreal.
Yeah, and that's becoming more prevalent in our industry as well. Like, if you know Unreal, like, there's a lot of TV shows that are looking for people like that.
Do I know Unreal?
Do we know?
I was the original player of Unreal.
I was there when Unreal was created.
Quake, anything by Epic. Yeah, but it's like, it's still been prevalent.
So we're running just over an hour here, and we probably need to wrap things up. Guys, even though I'm sure we could probably sit and just chat for hours on end.
You got me as long as you want me.
I want to end off because we always, every episode, we have a No One Knows little segment of our show. And so we haven't done a No One Knows tonight. So Noah, do you know something?
Oh, do I know something? All right. So this was something I read a little bit ago, and I had to go do some digging to kind of remember all the details, because I thought it was neat. And it's not, I don't know if you call it trivia, but it's something I thought was just interesting. We've all seen the movie No Country for Old Men. So in the movie, we know a story of cartel hitman, and it's all about, you know, the cartel coming to this small, quiet Texas town, and, you know, shit hits the fan. This is all fictionalized. It's a, you know, Coen Brothers made the story. Although it's based after real events that happened around San Antonio, Texas back in the 80s. So the movie is based after a book that was written, I can't remember exactly, and I think mid 80s or so. The author of the book was inspired to write it after a federal judge in this area was assassinated at the order of the cartel. The man who carried out the assassination was like it was a hitman and everything, and he was arrested for it. Was the guy who inspired Javier Bardem's character of Anton. The man who plays, the character who was inspired from was named Charles Harrison, who is the actual father of Woody Harrelson. Because Woody Harrelson's father, his father was a very prolific hitman, like had a bunch of murders under his belt and everything.
Woody Harrelson's father was a hitman?
Yes, for like the mob and the cartel and everything. And like there's even things he claimed he was the guy who killed JFK, but I think he's dead now, but he was serving life in prison for his job as being a hitman. Woody Harrelson is in the movie No Country for Old Men and is killed by the hitman character who is inspired by his own father, who was a hitman.
Oh, wow. That's really cool.
So, and again, I don't think any of that was intentional when they were making the movie. They're like, oh, we need to get Woody Harrelson. But the coincidence and like just the way that the inspiration happened to, you know, influence people's careers. I don't know. I thought that was kind of a neat little thing that in a way his own father, you could think, killed him. So
ties it all together in a 4D way.
Yeah. So that's all I got for No One Knows for today. But
oh, that's awesome. Well, Taylor, thank you again for joining us tonight. We're gonna have to try and catch up with you again in the future.
Yeah, I'll ping you if you guys are showing another movie I worked on.
Yeah, absolutely. Appreciate hearing about that. And
yeah,
this was super interesting. Really, really enjoyed it. And
well, it's so neat for us to get to kind of like, you know, like when we had Adam and then we've had you on now and get to see the stuff that we don't see in the, like, we just see the final product. We get to enjoy the, reap the benefits of what happens, you know? So it's cool to get to hear about the hard work that actually goes into what we get to enjoy.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm glad I got to talk about it. Thank you guys so much for giving me the platform.
And we will look for your name in the credits.
Absolutely. Don't blink. And also don't blink on when my the folks show up. It goes very fast.
I will be watching.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Awesome. And I guess until next time, which will be whenever we decide we can do it
six
again.
6 months later.
No, it's not going to be six. It's going to be less than 6 months. And until then, I guess we'll see you guys at the movies.